Welcome to the Inner Ho Uprising,
a podcast about sex, love, and dating from the perspective of me, Sam, one tired black non-monogamous feminist ho living in New York City.
And me, Akua, who is also tired.
It's very early. It's not mildly. That early, but it's Sunday.
No, I'm fatigued, not tired. I am fatigued. This is chronic.
That is not good.
Mildly anxious and a cozy black bitch who's 20-something and single.
That's my homeostasis, what you just said. That's how I always am.
That's what I am right now.
I am always fatigued. I am often fatigued. I would say a good 2 weeks out of the month. Shout out to PMS, my favorite thing. There are two types of episodes on this here show, group episodes and interview episodes. On interview episodes, Sam, me, the principal host of the show, and one of my rotating co-hosts talk to folks with insightful perspectives on sex, love, dating, gender, and or race. And on group episodes, all of the hosts come together to chat about sexual current events in the world, our lives, and yours. This is a group mailbag episode, but without the group because other niggas have shit to do here. Make sure to pay a hoe because we all have full-time jobs or full-time freelance and things like that. Yeah, so on this mailbag episode, we're getting into transitioning into different parts of your hoedom.
Mm-hmm.
We're talking about dealing with some internal issues that you might have against fat people or people of size. We're talking about unwashed asses, which is, that's going to be my favorite one, I think. And we're getting into some other stuff, too. Good, good things. But before we do all that, we have a couple of short segments. They are
Bae of the Week,
where we talk about people who we find attractive.
Ho of the Week,
where we shout out y'all, the homies, the listeners, and the fans.
Self-care tip of the week,
where we give you some advice on how to take care of yourself.
And pay a hoe.
Where you beg for the money that niggas need because niggas have jobs and they want to do this as their full-time job. Please, please.
If you guys would like to follow along with the conversation had on this podcast on social media, you can do so by using the hashtag InnerHoeUprising so that we can see it, and the hashtag Podin so other people can see it.
And if you want to pay us to speak at your school or conference about sex positivity, black feminism, building your own wig studio, which we are in right now, shout out to Wig Crucifix Studios, being an independent podcaster, things of that nature, or other kinds of topics that we discuss on this here show, we would love to do so. So please, to book us, send us a line to ihupodcast@gmail.com.
I need us to actually create a podcast and recording studio and name it Wig Crucifix Studio.
That can happen with your dollars.
With their dollars.
Yeah, exactly.
Help us.
Yeah. That can very easily. If you would like to record at Wig Crucifix Studio, which if I know you in real life, I will let you do. But if you're a stranger, I'm not letting you in my house. But if you would like to record at a theoretical Wig Crucifix Studio, hit us up. ihupodcast@gmail.com. Yes. We'll make it happen. Who's the Bae of the Week?
So for Bae of the Week, I actually have two. Surprise, surprise. First is at Ash Ford. She is a girl I follow on Instagram, kind of one of those fashion inspo influencer kind of people. I don't know what she actually does. Maybe she models. I don't know. But she is gorgeous. And I realized that looking at her that I have a type in women.
Is it you?
No, it's actually similar to my type in men. So like very broad black features, full lips.
Wait, you spelled her name wrong because I'm getting nobody. And I took off one of the E's and I got a white girl with one follower.
No. Let me.
I took off another one of the E's. I got a black girl with 100 followers.
Let me find her. Oh, okay. So it's Ash Ford. So it's ITSASHFORDE on Instagram.
Okay, I'm looking at her now. I feel like she looked like that girl that you went on the date with in the summer a little bit. Oh, you do have a type. Yeah, okay.
I do have a type.
See it. Yeah, she looks exactly like her.
And if you picture the men that I like, you will see those features on those men.
Which nigga?
Any of them, Samantha.
I'm thinking of one, the one who we dragged last week, and this does not look like him.
Have you ever seen my baby daddy? Though.
Oh, yeah. Okay. I can see that. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Okay.
All right. Okay. The theory applies. Yes. You do like the same type of nigga. There you go.
I like the same type of nigga.
That's good. I like consistency. I like when people have a type. It's kind of attractive. It's like, I think like when guys have a type and I'm obviously their type, because that's the only reason why I'm talking to you in the first place. It's like, oh, I want to see the fact that you're attracted to. I don't know why. I don't know if it's a science thing or just like, oh, that's so funny. And you start looking at people and they look exactly the same.
Is it just not your narcissism?
That definitely does play into it, yes. Okay,
just,
never mind.
Just as you like to date niggas who look like you, you like to date niggas who date other people that look like you.
Yes, I do.
I mean, they're all scientific.
But I also like it in you, and I don't look like those people.
Okay, is it like... like you said, is the consistency, is it like you know what you like instead of like wishy-washy people you can't really pinpoint them? It's like you like, you know, light-skinned tall hoes, and then you like short dark skin.
This nigga's all over the place. It's not that I have an aversion to people who are wishy-washy, but I do have an attraction to patterns. I think that's what it is.
Okay.
Yeah Very strange.
I too like a pattern.
Yeah, clearly.
I do.
The Ash Fords of the world. Who's this other person?
This other person is Dapper Penniless. So
they don't got no dolls. That's what it sounds like.
No. So I want to say their pronouns are she and her, but let me go on Instagram and double check that.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, their pronouns are not there, but I'm gonna use they. Okay. So they are a menswear blogger.
Okay.
And photographer. And like they have so much swag. Like just
let me so take a gander at Dapper Penniless.
And the funny
what?
And the funny thing is that I had emailed them and asked them to be on the show as a guest for a more personal topic, which they declined, which was understandable because it was personal. But I continue to like follow them because one, they're gorgeous.
Yes, they are.
Two, their swag is like off the fucking charts.
They are dapper.
And three, they know how to style on a budget, and that is the way to my heart.
There's the Penniless part. I like
that. That is the way to my heart.
I dig it. I like following people who I can get fashion tips from.
I do too, but Instagram only gives me white girls, and I don't understand why Instagram don't got no sense.
That's kind of odd.
Like, but like when I go on my explore page, it's just those videos of like the white girls, like, here's five different ways to style a jumper or whatever the fuck that is. But actively following people, I follow people with a similar shape and then like a style that I can
the shape
achieve. Yeah, because if we ain't got the same shape, it ain't gonna look like that on me.
All right, moving on to Hove of the Week now. Shout out to the people who, shout out to all of you because you're all wonderful, wonderful, wonderful hoes and homies and listeners and fans. But we want to give a special shout out to some of the people who stuck out to us this week. So they are Lee Ashley, who was the second person to ever buy some merchandise off of the website. Catherine, who was the third person ever. Shout out to Oleaser, the fourth person ever. You're great. And then also shout out to Gabria, Shaheen W, and everyone who came to tonight's sex trivia event, which you might hear about on the next episode if anything cool happened. If not, come to the next one in January. Very cool. And really fun questions. I learned writing those questions.
I've seen the questions. I'm like, oh, Samantha's getting in there.
Yeah. I'm excited. This is going to be good. And then also shout out to the two contest winners whose stuff is finally in the mail. Thank you so much for your patience. I am a garbage human being who sits in bed often because I have anxiety. But I didn't do that this week.
Oh my God, yes.
Yes. And I didn't do that last week either or the week before. I've been on an uptick. Shout out to upticks.
Yes.
Self-care tip of the week now.
Apparently, I'm on this boundaries kick. And that's because at the age of, 26, I developed boundaries. So I guess that's just my thing right now. So with the help of Samantha talking me through, my self-care tip of the week this week is reinforcing your boundaries with yourself. Last week was reinforcing your boundaries with other people, namely your family because of the holiday. This time is with yourself because I had communicated boundaries with Samantha and then got anxiety about communicating those boundaries with Samantha and tried to talk myself out of, you know, pushing my own boundaries. And then and that made me think. So I was like, no, reinforcing your boundaries with yourself, because that can happen, you know, sometimes, especially when you're new to this boundary shit, You can feel like, oh my gosh, what are other people's reactions to my boundaries? I'm a horrible person. And then push yourself to not, you know, hold true to your boundaries, which then, of course, if you don't respect your own boundaries, other people are not going to respect your own boundaries.
That's definitely true. What are some tools that you can use to reinforce your own boundaries?
With yourself?
Yes, with yourself. Or maybe it's too new to fit. Maybe this is just a series of self-care tips and you tell us next week.
You know, what did I do this time? It really was kind of evidence pulling. So self-talk, positive self-talk, and reminding myself of why that was my boundary. Like, what are the potential dangers? What are the potential downside of not holding fast to this boundary? What can it do to my mental health, you know? And the fact that it was so murky that I wasn't even sure what it could do to my mental health is like a red flag. It's like, all right, so you're opening Pandora's box if you do this. This is why you have this boundary. So reminding yourself of why you have the boundary. And then reminding yourself that you are not a garbage person for having boundaries, you know, that you have to take care of yourself because no one else is going to take care, you know, of you besides you. And then,
no one else is expected to take care of you besides you. I'd hate to say that no one else is going to take care of you besides you.
Okay.
That's not always true.
Semantics. Okay.
That's like not always true. But I do get what you're saying. Thank you for providing those tools.
You're welcome. Now let's talk about how Samantha has been holding tips from my life.
So a couple of months ago I said use apple cider vinegar toner in order to tone your face. Basically, a toner is something that you want to use after you wash your face because it's actually called an acid mantle. This is what happens when we do things twice. We pull more words. Mm-hmm. Your face has an acid mantle, and that means that it's a very specific pH balance happening with your face. So after you use soap, your acid mantle is like off kilter a little bit, and that's what causes some people to create excess oil because their face is trying to counteract the fact that their face is like a little bit too much on the basic side of pH balance. People often use toners to reset that acid or to bring their acid mantle back up to like whatever equilibrium is good for a face. So I used to use apple cider vinegar, and that kind of cut down on my face's oil production. But during the winter time, I was just getting a little bit ashy, and that's not good. Mm-hmm. It's not good to be ashy unless you're white, because I guess you don't see it or something like that. I don't really know. White people leave the house without lotion, but then also so does Akua. So I'm really not sure what y'all niggas are doing in terms
of
ashiness.
Why was there a mini drag of me?
Because I can't respect the fact that you do. I still do not respect the fact that you do that.
I cannot respect the fact that. Since
do you lotion? Did you lotion this morning? Because I had you sit in this room as I lotioned my body.
Yes. So I spend more time lotioning than I did before. Are there days where I will still not lotion? Sure.
The fact
but
that there
are they
full days? The fact that they're full 24-hour pockets.
But they have decreased.
Okay, that's good.
In frequency. Okay?
That's also
And I am
good.
A working progress.
That's good. That's another thing. That's also that's actually how I'm taking care of myself lately, but more on that later. Mm-hmm. So I don't like to be ashy. I don't like to be dry. So I cut my apple cider vinegar with rose water that was provided to us by Money of Queer Walk. Thank you, Money. You can also just use it as a toner in and of itself because both rose water and apple cider vinegar are both acidic. So it's going to do that counterbalancing that you want it to do. And then also rose water smells way better. So that's also nice. sorry for holding on to that. Sorry for having y'all out here being ashy.
And dry.
And dry.
And not at a good pH balance.
Y'all niggas
faces.
Was ashy anyway. You don't use I don't know what you wanted from me. And then also, like, it's cool to be a work in progress. I feel like every day, sometimes one of the things that offsets my anxiety is just, like, I imagine that my life is as cluttered as my room, which is often cluttered, and sometimes my life is just as cluttered because I have like a billion ideas going on and I don't really know how to like delegate tasks to myself and to other people. So it's just like, oh shit, there's just a whole bunch of things. So in my mind I have like the life's room, and it's a fucking mess. Like, it's all over the place. Like, it's on the floor, as my dad would say. Like, the room is on the floor. but to remind myself that things are okay. I think of this one specific scene in Bruce Almighty. Mm-hmm. Did you ever see that movie?
Mm-hmm.
Do you remember when everything went to shit? And at the end, I think Bruce like stopped answering everybody's prayers or something like that. And then he went back to the main room that Morgan Freeman, aka God, is in. Mm-hmm. And he was like sweeping up. And Morgan Freeman said something like, or God said something like, no matter how messy it gets, it can always be cleaned up.
Mm-hmm.
And that's also something that my dad says a lot. And he's also just like a very, I don't know, he's very intricate in his tidiness. And he also speaks through his tidiness. So like if he's sweeping a room, he'll say, and then you just clean it right up. So I just think of Morgan Freeman and my dad. Whenever I'm just like, oh shit, there's so much shit to do and I'm never gonna get through all the things that I want to do in life. Like I'm gonna die before I accomplish everything I want to do. Mm-hmm. I'm just like, no matter how crazy it is, you can just clean it right up.
Yes.
One step at a time, though, because you're not going to clean the whole fucking... The room is not going to be off the floor in one day because mm-hmm. there's a lot of shit going on in the room. But if you just, like, think about it in little sections, like, okay, today I'm going to sweep the floor. Today I'm going to mop the kitchen or whatever. Mm-hmm. That's how I'm trying to think about life. And it's going well. Like, when the anxiety's like, ah! I'm just like, like, I pull it back down.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. You got to ground yourself.
Pull it back down.
That's a good way to ground yourself.
Yes. Think about Morgan Freeman, ultimately. that is a self-care of the week. Think about Morgan Freeman. Let's pay a hoe now. The big crucifix studio needs to be funded. You got to get more wigs in here.
Mm-hmm.
You got to get one more mic for when Rob comes back.
Oh, my God.
We need headphones. We need a box for so everybody can actually listen to themselves. Some more padding would be nice. More pictures of Beyonce.
Cool with cot.
The cot, yes. You can't forget
the
cot.
Or at least just the blanket.
More sage for when, you know, some episodes leave you a little bit like, oh, you got to clear the air. More sage. Do you want to contribute to all those things? You can do so by going to innerhoperaising.com and clicking the tab Pay a Ho Once or Pay a Ho Monthly. Pay a Ho Once takes you to our PayPal, which is also paypal.me/innerho. And with that, you can give a little donation. You can just drop a little change in the change pot like you do with those Santa Clauses who stand on 42nd Street during this time. But we don't have the annoying bell. We have a very good show. And yeah, you can drop a little change in the change pot. So some ways that you can do that are by going to innerhoeuprising.com and clicking the tab Pay a Ho Once or Pay a Ho Monthly. Pay a Ho Once takes you to our PayPal, which is paypal.me/innerho. And with that, if you have a little bit of extra money this month or are on a whim or found $20 on the street that you want to just give up, you can go to paypal.me/innerho and drop a one-time donation. Greatly appreciated. If you want to do a monthly donation, a more sustainable donation, one you can kind of set and forget, like a crock pot, like, oh, here's $2 a month that I'm just giving to my fave hoes. You can click the Pay a Ho Monthly tab, which takes you to our Patreon. With Patreon, you get a couple of perks. So if you are a $2 and up donor, you get access. You get early access to tickets for Inner Ho Uprising events. Be on the lookout for that in 2019 because we have some cool ideas and some cool stuff coming up. So you get that for $2 a month. For $5 a month and up, you get that as well as exclusive behind the scenes video content, as well as the newsletter, which is something that's happening because I am cleaning up the fucking room of my life and I'm doing everything that I promised that I said I would do. You can donate any less or any more. So that's $1 a month or $1 zillion a month, whatever feels right, man. This is just a more consistent way to pay a hoe. Other ways that you can help support Inner Ho Uprising that are not monetary include things like shouting us out on Twitter.
Yes.
Shouting us out on Facebook. Shouting us out on Instagram, on Instagram stories, on Snapchat.
Walking around in our merch.
Yes, walking around in our merchandise.
And then telling people where you got it from.
Which is innerhoeuprising.com/merchandise. Yes, ladies and gentlemen, the merchandise is finally here. You can buy a shirt with our logo on it. You can buy a crop top with our logo on it. You can buy our Respect and Protect Marginalized Identities of Women and Femme shirt. I love that shirt. Buy that shirt. Let's match. You can buy a pin. You can buy a condom. You can buy a sticker. And one day you'll be able to buy sweatshirts and much, much more. So do that, please, if you want to. If not, keep telling your friends about us. Write an article about us.
Rate and review us still.
Yes, rate and review us on iTunes or Stitcher. Subscribe to us on SoundCloud. We still do have a SoundCloud. What else is there that they can do? hit up the DM. Like, hey, I really love your show and I appreciate it.
Yes.
Because that goes a long way. Especially when you send it to me at 4 o'clock in the morning. Because I'm up and I'm working on something and I need that. I need that validation. Let's get into a show now.
Yes, yes.
First and only segment of this episode,
Fuck You,
the segment where we talk about your lives. If you'd like to ask us for some advice, share your hotels, or rant against the white cishet patriarchy, please send your thoughts to iChewPodcast@gmail.com and include your motherfucking pronouns so we can gender you appropriately, please. Thank you.
All right. So this comes from Lady Geneva Noor, and they write, Dear In A Whole Uprising, first, great show. Second, on Monday, I'm going to my first BDSM munch. I am a 22-year-old female, straight and from Atlanta, educated with a degree in engineering and is now a corporate hoe. Mm. My primary concern is that I am a virgin. Technically, it's a myth.
It's a myth. It means nothing. It's a social construct.
The furthest I have ever gone is being finger banged by a guy. I have inserted small toys. Emphasis on small. She put an emphasis on small. I have inserted small toys and I have even walked around in public with them in. I have just never had sex intercourse with another person and I'm sick of waiting around for someone who is cool with banging a virgin. I've had BDSM proclivities since I was very young and don't want to have to wait anymore to explore them. For example, spanking sessions, breast worship, double penetration, bratty submissiveness, switching, and it goes on. I have a list of 72 kinks I want to try.
Yes, I fuck with the list.
And that doesn't even cover the fantasies. The point is that I have been kinky most of my life, and now I want to act on it. I want to know as a virgin, entering the BDSM space, or just in general as well, is there anything I should be careful of? I have done the local BDSM group's recommended reading, and I just want to know some pro ho tips. Thanks, Lady Geneva Noir. P.S. P.S. It's a pussy script? I've never heard P.S.
That's funny.
May I suggest you do a fantasy episode where your viewers write in about the fantasies they are engaging in and ask them to dissect and analyze where the pleasure comes in.
Oh, wow. That's nice. We should try to do that for the end of this week. So like here on the 15th. That's a really good idea. Thank you, Lady Geneva Noir. So I am not in the BDSM space. I am like slightly kinky and have had kinky experiences, but I don't frequent like munches or anything like that. Also, a coup is not really frequent in the BDSM space either. So in terms of actually navigating that space, I do want to do an episode on that, and we have been talking to someone about doing an episode on that. But just general advice in terms of like life and stuff like that, in terms of being careful, obviously protection. If you are like doing something where you're like going to play parties or anything like that, or you're thinking of using or not using protection, might be a good time to get on PrEP. Depending on how frequently you're introducing new sex partners, I would say just getting tested like every 3 to 6 months. And then in terms of like folks and stuff like that, I would say sussing out the folks that you are engaging with, and kind of like if there is something that feels off or if there is someone who's like breaking boundaries. Like what I do know about the BDSM space is that there's a lot of fucking fake doms. Like there's a lot of men who think that just because they're men, they're a dom and that they're doing dom right. And not taking into the fact that like a dom is also the person who's like supposed to be giving you aftercare and who's supposed to be taking care of you during the session. And the fact that you as the sub, are you a sub? Is that what's going on here?
No.
Oh.
But they're looking into bratty submissiveness. Okay. They want to enter that.
Okay. So maybe you're a switch or something. But people who don't understand the fact that, and I mean, it is not just men, but because men are socialized to be trash, it is oftentimes men, but like not taking into the fact that the sub is supposed to be the person who's actually running the show, you know, because mm-hmm. they're the one who want to be acted on. So one thing I would say is take extra time to suss out folks. If there are red flags, then don't engage with folks who are giving you red flags. And then also build a community within the BDSM space specifically. I don't know what race you are or anything like that, but if you are Black and if you are femme-identifying, I would say start building a community with other Black femme-identifying folks in the BDSM space so that they can let you know what's up. And if there's someone who's like, that nigga's weird, like, we never go to play parties with that nigga or something like that, then you can have that heads up to avoid that specific nigga. So you can like talk to folks about like who are actually in the community, because I'm not gonna lie, like I'm not actually in the community, and I don't think any of us are actually in the community. No. Like we might engage into in our specific BDSM proclivities, but I don't engage in any communities. I don't even leave my house. So I have not. I don't know. I don't go to Munches or anything like that. But yeah. So. Yeah, I think those are some hoe tips. Not some pro hoe tips, but those are some hoe tips. And we definitely want to do an episode about navigating the BDSM space as a Black person, as a Black femme, when there's a lot of weird people out there who aren't actually in, I guess, what am I trying to say? Who aren't actually taking into account like your mental and emotional and physical safety and things like that. Mm-hmm. So we definitely do want to do an episode on that next year. And if you have pro-ho BDSM tips, sometimesyoupodcast@gmail.com and we'll read them on the show. Cool. Any other thoughts?
I don't know how much weight you hold on this whole virginity thing. And if you plan on quote unquote losing it in a BDSM space, but that's something I think you should think about and be communicative about with the people who you're engaging with. Just because if, you know, God forbid, you run into a trash-ass person like the one Samantha described, it could be very traumatic, you know. And you want to take care of yourself in that space. So again, like Samantha says, sussing out people, and having conversations about consent and what your boundaries are, so that mm-hmm. everybody's on the same space, so that you have the most enjoyable time.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's so true. Virginity is a social construct, but there is something to, like, first of all, you want every sexual encounter to go as good mm-hmm. as it possibly can, but like, reminds me of the first time I smoked weed and how I freaked out. Now I can't smoke weed because it always makes me think of that time that I freaked out. Like, mm-hmm. you want it to be a good, enjoyable first experience. Yeah, good advice.
All right,
cool. So let's pay some bills.
All right,
I'm gonna start up a Bow Chicka Wow Wow beat. Do you want me to start it at the same time as you, or do you want me to rock with it for a little bit and you hop on the beat like a good rapper? All right. Bow chicka wow wow. Bow chicka wow wow. Bow chicka wow wow.
Inner Ho Uprising is brought to you by HotMoviesForHer.com. Hot Movies for Her is a video on demand website that offers all of the latest and the greatest adult movies from more than 50 years of adult movie making. Besides having one of the largest adult movie libraries available online, Hot Movies for Her also has a sex-positive blog with insightful articles and exclusive interviews written by women who have an inside perspective on the adult industry. Because you listen to the Inner Ho Uprising podcast, you can get 20 free minutes to try HotMoviesForHer.com. Go to VOD.hotmoviesforher.com/bonus and enter the promo code IHU, all one word, to get your free minutes. No purchase is necessary. Again, that is VOD.hotmoviesforher.com/bonus with the promo code IHU. There's always something to see or do or learn at HotMoviesForHer.com.
Bow Bow chicka wow wow. Bow chicka wow wow. Waka waka waka. Bow chicka wow wow. Let's get steamy. Bow chicka wow wow. Let's get nasty. Bow chicka wow wow. Yeah. Sorry.
I love the ad libs. But
I am going to become the Migos of internet porno. Yes.
I love it.
All right. So we have a letter from B. B writes, "Hello, Sam, Akua, Rebecca, and Rob. I first started listening to Inner Hoa Uprising in September 2016. Not quite from the very start, but still season one. Blessings to your heart. Thank you. I have loved it since then, and it has seriously gotten better and better. Wow. Thank you. Sam, you are an amazing creator. Oh, shit. I didn't know it said that. And I love what you do and how you go about things. You are incredible, though, and I love what the co-hosts have brought to the table. Thank you. Thank you. Y'all are all amazing. Anyway, this is an email to say thank you so much for your episode on cuck queening. I am pretty much exactly like Shayna. Me too, as we talked about in the episode, except a couple of minor differences. Like, I'm totally happy for my partner to stay at other women's places, and to hear myself represented and validated like that was beyond amazing. I'm super comfortable with my sexuality, but it still took me until I was about 30 to truly understand myself and know my desires. It's hard to explain to others sometimes, too. So having this handy now is the best. My fiance is actually listening to the episode right now. I'm a white 32-year-old cis woman living in Melbourne, Australia. You actually shouted me out sometime last year when I paid a hoe. Thank you for paying a hoe. Probably not exactly who you have in mind as the target audience of the podcast, which I respect and appreciate. The content that you are making for your communities, you are sharing with a wider world because it means a lot. I just want to say I appreciate and love you all so much. I don't have huge amounts of friends who are on my level with this stuff, so it means a lot to have people I can tune into and feel understood. Thank you for doing what you do. B." Thank you.
Thank you for writing in, Becky.
Yeah, that is really nice. Two things I wanted to say about that. It's hard to explain to others, so having this is handy now. Having this handy is now the best. Yeah, I like that. Like, I like the fact that media exists nowadays, not just the media that we make, but just in general, that you can, like, have an episode geared up about polyamory and just be like, I don't have words for this, but here are, like, three human beings who do. Yeah, how about you just listen? And then we can have words for each other. Or like videos and stuff like that. Like, I watch a lot of shit on YouTube about people and their experiences abroad, because I'm just like, what is it like being black there? Mm-hmm. So like having sex shows that can give you tools in your toolkit, that's really cool. And I'm glad that we can make things like that. And if you are someone who's listening that we've done an episode on and you want to like use it as a tool to talk to your partner, do it.
Mm-hmm.
Do it. And the second cool thing was I think I want to say thank you again for paying a hoe. In terms of who this podcast is for, yeah, you know, it's not for white cisgender people living in Australia, but I think like something to the fact that, you know, how intersectionality, like when we address people at the margins, everybody benefits, because when we get into the margins, we're seeing like more of the things that we need to be addressing. Mm-hmm. Like if we're talking about oppression, we're really getting to the guts of oppression when we're talking about the most oppressed people in society. So yeah, this is not a show for everyone, but in turn it becomes a show for everyone, unless you don't like to hear me say nigga, because I say it a lot. Yeah, or other things, I don't know. Shall we move on?
Mm-hmm.
Should we go to girl?
Girl.
Okay. Girl is the subject line. And this is by David, a listener. David writes, "Hey, Sam." When you guys write to the inbox, you can also write hey hoes, because everybody's technically in the inbox. But 99% chance I am probably going to respond to you. So, hey, David. I recently found Inner Ho Uprising podcast. He actually wrote Inner How Rising, which is funny, but it often autocorrects to that. So that is fine. I am sold. I am so in love with you and your team. I've been listening to episodes and studying your format. One day I might want to launch my own podcast, and I think you have an awesome setup. Thank you. And cool. Best of luck to you launching your own podcast. Allow me to introduce myself. My name is Dave. I'm black, married, father of two, polyamorous, bisexual, male, atheist. That's a lot to put in a title, no? I mean, we say like six things in our title. every single episode. That's not a lot at all. That's like part of the course. Mm-hmm. Anyway, I found your podcast searching for podcasts on sexuality, trying to find something I can relate to. I found a lot of stuff, but Inner Ho Uprising is by far the most informative, most entertaining, and most natural. You hear that, Apple Podcast? The next time you're thinking of a feature? No, I'm just kidding. I don't want beef with you guys. I think you've done an amazing job about... I think you've done an amazing job getting people to speak about sex. Should we all do it, right? Or we should be.
Well, some people are.
Yeah.
If you want to, then you should be.
Yeah. There you go. Some people are celibate, asexual, abstaining, all that good stuff. What sparked this email is Ho University. I'm about to sign up. Nice. Huh. I have no problems talking to men about sex, especially if they're paying. Nice, nice. I like that. Get your bag. I've been wanting to email for a while, but I try not to get to mail, quote unquote, with females. You know, the type of guy who hears a voice and thinks it's all his. While I'm not cis, I'm very cis in public behavior, but I try to be considerate to my female counterparts. Cool. Thanks. We appreciate that. I really wanted to email you after I heard the Blurreds episode from 2017. I feel like we should have like a dun dun dun. When like Blurred should have a sound effect at this point. What the fuck did you get that? Where did you... Where the fuck did you get that guy from? He had me wanting to kick him in the nuts. Yikes, that's not okay. For the bullshit he was saying. How do you not know what a blurred was? Why was he not trying to stick up for black women? Why was he talking like he didn't want to offend white people? Well, because misogynoir is a thing, you know? That's exactly why. But please do not enact physical harm upon anybody who's been on the show. Thank you very much. I listen to, or anyone in general, unless they hit you first. How about that? I listen to your podcast mainly while out driving for Lyft. Some episodes be giving a brother road rage. Damn. Anyway, I'm rambling now. Thank you for sharing your day with us. Thank you for educating us. Thank you for being you. And when I get my money right, I'll be paying a hoe. I think after David wrote this, David did pay a hoe. So thank you very much, David.
Thank you, David.
We like people who follow up on what they say.
Yes.
Yeah, that's cool. I don't think I have anything else to say about that.
What I do have to say, and I feel like I've said this before, listen to Inner Ho Uprising. You should not be listening to Inner Ho Uprising while operating heavy machinery. Exercising.
I've never heard you say that before.
I feel like I've said that somewhere.
That's
like
funny.
Because I remember one time I was like running on a treadmill and like laughing and almost like fell and died.
Oh no.
So I was like, be careful where you listen to us. Okay. Because you know, shit might go down. Take care of yourselves and don't hurt other people.
Damn, that's fucked up. I didn't know that happened. Yeah,
you're funny as fuck. I'm sorry.
Oh, yeah, thanks, David. Yeah, if you want to start your own podcast, I want to wish you the best of luck.
Yes, hit us up, tell us what it is, we'll listen.
Yeah, hit us up when your podcast is out. We would love to take a listen to it. That's very cool. Moving on from David, we got stank lies and unwashed asses. My least favorite things, my three least favorite things, but asses is one of my favorite things, so this is very... This is quite tumultuous for me to read. Should I read it?
I can read it.
Okay, cool.
So it is signed, a bitch about to hose them down.
Hose them down.
And they write, hey, hoes. First, I want to thank y'all for all the time you all spend making these podcasts. I've been listening since the beginning, and listening to y'all has been a source of therapy, entertainment, and knowledge. Love you guys. I'm writing because my boyfriend recently moved in with me, and we've had many fights about how he doesn't shower before bed. He knew that I preferred that he would before we moved in and agreed, but we fought about it off and on for months. He uses the excuse of being too tired after working late, though he only works till 10 at the latest and will often stay up until 5 a.m. or later playing video games. He was sleeping on the couch for a period, and only recently has he started sleeping in the bed again. He lies and says he's showering, but I know he's not. I'm afraid to bring it up again, knowing how troublesome it's all been, but I'm pissed because the last time I mentioned it, he said, why would I lie after how many times you've said it's bothered you? So he's lying to me about lying while citing how upset he knows I am by it. LOL. I don't understand why he why me asking him to maintain basic hygiene has been such a problem, and it's exhausting and embarrassing to fight about. But at this point, I'm mad because he's disrespecting what I believe to be a very simple wish, and he's lying about it. Am I being unfair? I never get into my bed without having showered and have had this strong preference for a long time. Any advice on how to navigate the situation would be appreciated. Thank y'all. Wishing you all peace and bomb dick this season.
Blessings.
Signed, a bitch about to hose them down.
What do you think, Akua? I actually wrote to this person a little bit because it felt I had time and I felt like it was a pressing matter.
Smith basically said, throw that nigga.
Yeah, a little bit. I'm a very benefit of the doubty kind of person, so I did think a lot of things that I didn't want to say to them because mm-hmm. I didn't want to also be like, I also didn't want to like gaslight them or be like, oh, are you sure? Mm-hmm. But I did want to like question like, maybe he is showering and the nigga just stinks because there's some people who just like smell bad.
But I feel like,
or is it just like, are they checking the rag and the rag is still dry? It's a stiff rag.
I feel like,
is he going in there and just like what fucking 5-year-olds do, like turning on
turn
the water,
the faucet on, standing outside real quick, wetting the rag and then going back.
I don't know what's happening.
I feel like there's a difference in scent of I've been outside all mm-hmm. day musting in my funk and then like natural body odor that you just can't get rid of even if you rinse. Mm-hmm. And they may have been together long enough for her to know the difference. Mm-hmm. So it's like, I know what you smell like when you showered. You might still stink, but nigga, you don't smell like this. You smell like outside.
You smell like the black mom's top yeah. 5 favorite line. You smell like yeah, outside.
Smell like outside.
Niggas do be smelling like outside though, and it's gross.
I think that one, you should not be embarrassed about bringing it up
yeah,
again.
Definitely.
He should be embarrassed about bringing it up again.
Right.
Especially, well, he should be embarrassed about you having to bring it up again, especially because he knows that you've been fighting about this on and off. He claims that he's showering. So if it's still an issue, he knows that you know that he's lying. And it's like, nigga, like the issue becomes like, why won't you shower? Like, and
yeah, I mean, and that's another thing, because then I am super benefit of the doubty, so I'm like, well, why isn't he like, does he have an issue? Mm-hmm. I don't see how it's like that hard, you know. And it doesn't even have to be like, I have like hour shower, like power showers, like it's not an hour long, but it's like super excessive because I'm just like, all right, every motherfucking crevice we really got, like, it's I shower like how I lotion. Mm-hmm. But he just has to do a simple like couple and done. He's mm-hmm. not even doing that.
Yeah, so what
now? I'm just like, is he scared of water? Like, I don't know what's going
now,
on.
This states that she wants him to shower before bed, so mm-hmm. I'm assuming that he showers in the morning. I'm assuming he showers at some point in time, because this isn't a letter that he doesn't shower at all. So I'm gonna frame it in that,
yeah,
and hoping that that's what it is. And it could be that I feel like it's just, it holds no weight for him because that's not his routine. He doesn't see why. And mm-hmm. the fact that it upsets her is not important enough for him to change his behavior either.
That's pretty wild.
And that's a red flag about your relationship.
Yeah, exactly. Because then there's no middle ground for you two.
Yeah, because
there's no compromise there.
It's a simple task. We're not asking him to power shower like Samantha. He could literally go in there, rub some soap on them armpits, nether regions, rinse it through.
Yeah.
And boom.
Yeah.
You smell like Irish Spring and everybody's happy.
All right. If your nigga is using Irish Spring, there's a problem there. No, I'm just kidding. But
yeah, like, it could literally be, he could take a, what they call it, an army shower or like a Navy shower. It's like 10 seconds in, like turn the water off, 10 seconds off, and then boom.
I don't believe in imperialism, but I'll call that a thought bath. Where he's just
kidding. A thought bath is like a bird bath, like in a sink to me. But he could do that too. I mean,
he could
rinse how he can, okay? Like, honestly. Are we asking him to get behind those ears at nighttime? No, he could do that
in
the morning.
He doesn't have to do all the crevices, you know.
But there's so many ways to simplify the shower that it could take 5 minutes of his time, and the fact that he's up till 5 a.m. but then saying he's tired. You have 5 minutes, my nigga. Does he wash his hands when he come in the house? Like, so many
Ooh,
questions. So many questions.
He better be washing
now.
Those hands.
But yeah, if you know, it sounds like it's just not of importance to him, and that's, you know, a red flag for me. And I would bring it up again, especially if it bothered me, like,
it sounds like because it sounds like y'all been fighting about it, so it really bothers you.
Yeah, if, I mean, the fact that he was sleeping on the couch for a little bit.
And like, that was what I was going to suggest. I'm like, you can't sleep in this bed with me.
Yeah.
You can't. And if throwing that nigga out, like Samantha.
All right, here's what I actually wrote. You're putting words in my mouth. What did I say? My short answer is to have one final discussion in which you emphasize the importance of this to you and let him know that this is affecting how you view him as a living partner and as a boyfriend. So just like, not to be like, it kind of is an ultimatum, right? Like, this is very important to me. This is affecting the relationship. We need to talk about that. Like, something's got to give. And I said, if a resolution doesn't come about, it might be time for him to move out. Because mm-hmm. it seems like it's a not a boundary, a deal breaker. Mm-hmm. If it's a deal breaker, then you need to set it up like it's a deal breaker. Otherwise, you're in bed every night, which is your piece. That's supposed to be your piece of time. Mm-hmm. And then all of a sudden you have a funky ass nigga next to you, or someone who you think is funky. Maybe he's been in other relationships where he's gone to sleep or whatever after work and he doesn't think he's funky and they don't think he's funky. But if you think he's funky, then that matters. Mm-hmm. You're in a relationship. It's two people.
You're sharing a bed with this person.
Exactly.
And feeling uncomfortable.
Exactly. And then I said, this was me trying to give the benefit of the doubt. Perhaps dig a little deeper as to why about or less than 10-minute shower is unreasonable given the amount of time per night he spends playing video games. And I thought that the lying is a weird red flag. Mm-hmm. That's a big red flag, and that's weird as hell.
Because you're not six. Like,
yeah, you're not six.
Eight.
That's very odd.
Take a shower. You'd be surprised how refreshing it'd be. Like, you could change his life.
Yeah, that's why that's that weird benefit of the doubt thing. I'm just like, I don't understand why. Mm-hmm. I don't understand why that's that big of a deal for you. Mm-hmm. Is the bathroom cold? I don't got hot water.
But I feel like she wouldn't be unreasonable to have this nigga ice bath.
I don't know.
Like, it's the fact that it's such a simple request and he's like fighting you against it makes me wonder what bigger things will come up in this relationship, come up as domestic partners that he will, you know, that will be even harder to battle if he can't compromise on something so simple.
Yeah.
Or something so seemingly simple. Like, I don't know what if he's had other excuses, or if you do need to dig a little deeper, maybe there is something going on at nighttime that he can't bathe to. I don't know. Maybe he thinks he has to bathe and then lotion like Samantha, and you can give him the option to be dry.
And then he's like, I just killed 30
just
minutes.
That's too much.
30
yeah.
minutes to an hour doing this fucking nightly routine. Maybe he has eczema. Mm-hmm. Maybe he only likes to shower once a day.
But then maybe making that shower at night then, because you sleep. So at night, you're not collecting as much dust and as dirt as... Yeah. You know, you could wake up in the morning, wipe off some areas if you felt like it, and then go about your day. And because men, I feel like men's chemistry and anatomy are not the same as females. Let's put this in male and female perspective. Mm-hmm. That like, if I shower at night, I still have to rinse out my vagina, because by noon the next day, I feel a hot mess.
Yeah.
Like, I can't. The rest of me be aight, but my vagina be like, look, what is happening?
Yeah.
And I feel like men just walk around with sweaty balls.
I don't know. I don't know what happens within the dick at night. I don't know if you have to like gut out your schmegma if you are uncircumcised in the morning or something like that.
But these are all things to find out.
Yeah, you just gotta talk. You just gotta talk.
And if it's just pure laziness, the fact that he just does not feel like it's a big deal and you're bugging, then like Samantha says, it has to be a deal breaker, because what else is going to come up for y'all?
Yeah. I would hate to like put it on these terms because it sounds like super pick me, but maybe like make showers enticing. I hate that I even said that already.
No. Yeah.
No. Make it a fun time.
Because he's grown.
Or maybe it doesn't even have to. He is grown, but like, I don't know. Niggas do weird shit. We all have our idiosyncrasies or whatever. Maybe it doesn't have to be a fun time, but maybe something that he likes about playing video games is that he gets to unpack or something like that. So maybe like if you like sit in the bathroom with him for 5 minutes as he's showering and he could talk about his day or something like that. I don't know. Or like he could listen to music while he's doing it. I don't know.
I feel like this is all a lot of labor for her when these are things he could be doing to figure out how to make this enjoyable and doable for him. So if it was
even still talking about it, like not that, I mean, she's not going to be the one playing the music. I mean, she would be the one talking to him. So if she doesn't want to do that, then that's fine. But like, I don't know, just talk about it. Mm-hmm. Maybe he's just a weird ass nigga.
And maybe, and this is an option that I like, so maybe not throwing that nigga out, but just separate beds. Like, yeah. And I don't know why that.
I love Lucy style.
Like,
the two twin beds.
You sleep. Then you sleep on the couch or you sleep in this bed. We'll have separate beds and I'll be that and I'll have my peace.
Yeah, that's another thing.
I don't
thing.
Know.
Or go back to the couch, my nigga. Yeah, I don't know. It's weird. Something to talk about.
Yeah, definitely have that conversation again and really try to figure out what's going on with him and then lay your deal breakers on the table if you need to. Lay your ultimatums down if you need to because it couldn't be me.
Typing in fear of showers.
But he showers.
Maybe
some
it's
point.
Easier in the morning. Maybe he has a fear of nighttime showers. Because when you pull back that shower curtain, the nigga from Scream is there. I mean, I like just stopped being afraid of that when I was like 18.
Hey, bitch, I think I'm still afraid of it sometimes.
That nigga from Scream is behind that curtain, bro.
If that's what happens, then, you know, I'll come and pull the shower curtain back for you. You get in, I close the door. Yeah, like, let me know like what the issue is. Exactly.
If there is an issue, let me know.
Don't,
an issue.
Just don't lie to me.
Exactly.
Like, come on.
Yeah.
We're supposed to work together. We're supposed to partner here.
Yes. Ablutophobia. Irrational fear of bathing.
That nigga showers, okay?
Maybe in the morning he just does the fake thing. And at night he's like, I don't want to do the fake thing. But I don't know how he doesn't smell. I don't know.
Something's going on.
There's a lot going on here.
You got to get down to it. And then think about your other options. If he got to move out. If you got to sleep on the couch forever. If you need separate beds.
See, this is dating in 2018. It's like you have the perfect nigga and then he don't shower at night. Or some weird shit like that, man. Whatever. Anyway. Let's move on to the last question. That was just my bitterness coming out. Haha. Question for the show. Question for the show writes. So a conversation that I heard on the show got me thinking about one of my current relationships. I'm a polyamorous guy, open to love how it comes. I've been seeing someone for a couple of years and our connection and the time we are now spending together is amazing. We are currently just spending time together with no titles or expectations. We talk about the love we share together all the time. Now for my issue, or the issue. She is a lovely, big, beautiful woman, and I've never dated or seriously fell in love with someone of this body type before, and I'm afraid that it's an issue that I may not be able to work through. I've never had a particular body type for the women I've dated, and I find all women beautiful and attractive in their own ways, and this is why I'm having problems reconciling this one. If this woman's shape was as defined as all my previous loves have been, this would be a no-brainer, and we would probably have titles or expectations by now. I don't want to just throw this relationship away because of my shallowness, but how can I make this one work long-term, if that's even possible? Thanks. Signed, question for the show. Mm-hmm. Thank you for writing in, question for the show. There's a lot to unpack here.
Yeah.
So I think off bat, like, I've never had a particular body type for the women I've dated. And okay, no, the specific, I find all women beautiful and attractive in their own ways. I want to just say, like, no, you don't.
Mm-hmm. Apparently you don't.
Yeah, you don't. And not that that's okay, but that's makes sense because this is a society that has indoctrinated people to believe that certain kinds of people are more attractive than other kinds of people. Mm-hmm. So off rip, like, that's what's going on here. Mm-hmm. And that's not okay, but it is something that you need to work through. Ways that you work through that I'm not sure about. I mean, there's a bunch of big, beautiful women in many mediums. I would say that social media is the best way, in my opinion, to like get to the root of that. Cause if you go to mainstream media, it's a lot of people who like aren't really that big or whatever, or it's like one kind of person. Like, it's a lot of Ashley Grahams who like have hourglass defined shapes, mm-hmm. and flat bellies, but just happen to be like larger people. So I would say, I don't know, because I could say engage with people on social media, not engage, but like actually just like follow those people and like look at those people and see the beauty in those people. But I don't know if that's like objectification or anything.
I don't
like that.
Even think that would help because he has no. Let me read this. I'm gonna go back.
But I mean, in terms of the relationship, I would say like end it. Because you're working through something and she doesn't need to be carried along with that, in my opinion.
Well, yeah. So they've been seeing this woman for a couple of years now. So you have no issue fucking her, you know. But because of her size and the fact that she is not shaped in something that's desirable for you, then she's off limits to a romantic relationship or something more serious. Like titles, quote unquote.
Yeah.
So looking at you have no issues with her size when it comes to sexual attraction. That doesn't faze you one bit.
Are they fucking?
For what have been doing for a couple of years?
Talking. I don't know if they're actually fucking, so I can't
feel
get
like
on
they
that.
Are. I feel like they are. Because
that is very possible, but I don't want to make some assumptions here. But that is very possible.
Or even so, even if they aren't fucking, her size is no issue in speaking with her.
Yeah, in terms of like her as a human
some
being,
kind
yeah.
of intimacy. But yet, it becomes a precursor, or it becomes a barrier to a more romantic or serious relationship. So you have no problem looking at her physically. So looking at other people physically was not going to alleviate the issues with pursuing something romantic or more serious with her. You have no issue looking at her. It's not like you turn off the lights when you see her. You're like, ugh, it's just plain disgust. You've spent years.
It's not just
her.
Like, I wasn't saying like in terms of just like looking and like trying to drop down a barrier of disgust, but like actively doing the work and finding what you find about certain different body types beautiful.
Mm-hmm.
Like actually pick like, oh, I love that. I love that. Instead of just like not, it's not that he has an issue looking at her. I see what you're trying to say. You're trying to say like societally. Is that where the path that you're going down?
No.
So what do you think the issue is?
The issue is inherent fat phobia. But I feel like him looking at other people of size is not going to, or flooding himself with images of other people of size is not going to
not just passively
that.
Flooding, but like actively saying, this is what I love about this. Like finding things that you love.
So then why couldn't he do that for her? This is what I love
about
her.
I don't think he should even be with her right now because he has to do work on his own.
Mm-hmm.
I think that right now if he's with her and he's using her like that, then he's using her to break down his own fat phobia. And I don't even want her to be in a relationship like that right now. So I think in general, he should just end the relationship and do work. Like if he's actually interested in dealing with some sort of internal fat phobia or whatever, then he has to do that outside of her. Because what the fuck is she there for? Like, that's not fair to her. She has to go through years of this nigga looking at her like, oh, and that's what I like about you. Like, nah, she could just up and leave. That's not okay to me. But I, in terms of actively dismantling his fat phobia, whether it is like engaging with imagery or something like that, I don't know what it is. But the only definitive thing that I can say about this is that they shouldn't be together right now.
Yes.
Unless she has actively expressed wanting to help him work on his fat phobia, which I don't.
Would you?
I don't see why she would want to do that. But.
Yeah. Yeah. So I don't know how to actively dismantle fat phobia. I don't. Do you think that he should communicate this with her?
That's a good question. I don't know the answer to that question.
Because it's like for years now, then one day you're just like, I can't do this anymore. I'm going to want to know why. But do I want to know because, you know, you don't like where my fat is placed? Like,
man, all right, let me try to put that in terms that I can actually identify with. So if I was ever in a relationship with a white man, yuck, that would never happen. And all of a sudden he was like, and I get that it's not a one-to-one parallel because there's two different things, but if all of a sudden he was like, I can't do this because you're black, would I want him to tell me that?
That is, oh, it is so ridiculous. But I want him to tell me that.
I would want to know why the relationship ended. Yes. I would be very mad.
And I would look at him like he had no brain but three heads. Yeah. Because nigga, I've been black this whole time. Yeah. Like I've been this size the whole time.
All of that, all of those feelings would pass through. But also, I probably, I don't know. Is there a way to make it known without making it known? No, because I feel like then she's going to be like, okay, like maybe it is because I'm fat, you know? Like she might look at his current partners or previous partners or whatever and be like, okay, One of these things is not like the other. Hey, hey, it's me. So honestly, yeah, just tell her. Because she's going to know anyway.
Mm-hmm.
Damn, this sucks.
Like,
this sucks.
Oh.
That's why I hate society.
Yeah, but definitely you have to let her go because she should not be.
You can't work on yourself.
Like, I don't want to just throw this relationship away because of my shallowness. But she shouldn't be subjected to you trying to figure it out. And what if in the end, for 3 more years, you figure it out and it doesn't work?
Yeah, like, you're just dragging her along. Like, oh man, it's just my fat phobia, though. I don't know. Yeah, that's whack. Cut it off.
Mm-hmm.
But also frame it like, I mean, I don't know. Like, she's not the problem. You're the problem. Frame it like that.
Mm-hmm.
But even within that, the underlying code is like, fuck, well, I am fat, like, you know, and then society's already like, fuck fat bodies.
Yeah, but definitely let her know why you're breaking it off, which is to figure out your own shit and that she does not need to be subjected to that while you figure it out.
Yeah.
And, you know, let's see what her response is, because she might be down and wanting to help you dismantle your fat phobia. Maybe she has some tools. I don't know.
Yeah, maybe she has some tools.
Don't
expect her to.
Yeah, don't expect her to. Don't expect her to, you know.
Yeah, don't expect that kind of labor from her.
But if she wants to, try it. Because I don't want to write her off as if
she doesn't
hold any stake in this relationship, as if she does not have an emotional connection and she's really and ready and willing to let him walk out of it, you know.
That's true. So maybe frame it like that, like, okay, I think that it would be best for us to end this relationship because I have work on my end, because I have internalized fat phobia within me.
Mm-hmm.
So for that reason, I don't want to drag you along and think we should move on.
And that's also a conversation to have, because has she expressed that she wants it to be something more serious?
Mm.
You know, are you trying to progress the relationship and she's fine with the way it is?
Mm-hmm.
You know, she's been doing this for a couple years. So
that might have been the we talk about the love we share together all the time. That was a very vague sentence.
Yeah.
I don't know what that meant.
I talk about the love I share with Samantha all the time. I'm not trying to progress this into something romantic.
We need titles.
I let us out. But yeah, so I don't. Open and honest communication. That's all we got for you here at the End of Hope Uprising. Open and
that's
honest
the
communication.
Brand. That's the brand.
And trying to work on it together if that's something she chooses, or, you know, if not, by yourself, which you need to do.
Yeah. Either way, that is something that you need to work on, whether or not she stays. Yeah, let us know how this one worked out, though. I'm curious.
Yeah.
I'm very curious about how this one worked out. All right, let's end the show
now. That's it.
Thank you, everyone, for sending in your tings.
And if you, Samantha, you do this better than I do.
If you'd like to ask us for advice, share your hotels, or rant against the white cishet patriarchy, please send your thoughts to ihupodcast@gmail.com and include your pronouns. I liked, who said the fantasy thing? That was Lady Geneva Noir. Let's talk about that again. If you guys want to partake in a fantasy episode where you write in your fantasies and the fantasies that you're engaging in, and we can talk about them and analyze them on the show, that just sounds fun. And I'm a pervert, so
yes. Yeah, engage like my voyeurism. Like
exactly.
Erotica and fantasy.
If enough people write that in by this Friday, that'll be
the next episode.
Yeah, because that was supposed to be a mailbag episode, but this is now the mailbag episode. So let's see.
Could just hear me share my fantasies with Samantha and Rodeca.
That could also be fun. Yeah, let's make this fun. When is that coming out? The 12th? The 15th? Mm-hmm. No, that's coming out. So it'll be like, that's right before Christmas. Let's do something cool.
Oh, yes.
Let's do something fun. Let's switch it up.
Skip. Steamy for the holidays.
Exactly. Social medias.
If you guys would like to follow us, you can follow us on social media at Inaho Uprising without the G on Twitter, Inaho Uprising with the G on Instagram and Facebook. You go to InahoUprising.com to pay a hoe and check out that new merch.
Yes.
You guys can follow me, Akua, at Hey Akua Girl. That's HeyYYAKUAGIRL. On Instagram and Twitter.
You can follow me at SlamRid on Instagram and Twitter. Fuck Snapchat. We don't use that shit no more. Thank you. Bye.
Bye.